I want to talk to you about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus. Who is this Jesus Christ? Look, brethren, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always. And as sure as David sitting here in this chair before me, Jesus Christ is in this meeting, sitting down as a brother here." And more than Jesus is here too. You better believe it. Some of our brethren in heaven who need this lesson are sitting here this evening, listening to this lesson. Amen. Maybe some just passed on last night. And they didn't have this lesson before. They have to attend our meetings to be with us so that we won't go before them. Come on now. The Bible said we won't prevent them. We won't go before them. Not because we are alive, we have a preeminence over them. They must have the same opportunity of learning all the knowledge that we have. Why? Because we have the opportunity of learning all they had. And they seek God, see to it that it was written in the Bible and in books so that we can read and get people's experiences from the past. So the people from the past have a right to our experience. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To our experience. Now, if somebody doesn't believe that, let me give you this, the boost of your belief, your faith. Before I go any further, I don't intend to lose anybody here tonight. Amen. Neither those who will be hearing the tape. Amen. Oh, praise God. Thank you. Amen. Yes, they wouldn't have heard that tape. Yes. Now we turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we read from verse 38 to get the context to verse 42, 41. I'm just teasing you because the people who separated this chapter here had no right to do it. The chapter 12 shouldn't have been really there, if you notice. So we'll read and see. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They couldn't be made perfect without us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the cloud of witnesses? Those brothers, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Brethren, I am not afraid to talk the truth anytime. This is truth, and this is from heaven. The brethren who are dead and gone are learning. They are in the third heaven, and they are observing everything on earth. They are learning what we are doing here because they must get this lesson. This is the reason why when the seventh trumpet is blown on earth, or the seventh message comes forth, they will also get it just as we. We will not prevent them. We won't go before them. They will also get that message as we get it. When the first fruit company is coming forth on earth, the first fruit company is coming forth in the heavens. Hallelujah. And of every class that we have on earth of human beings, there is a class like that in the heavens. Amen. Because they died and they were not perfect, and they cannot be perfect without us. For we have got to do the last thing that is to be done to bring perfection in the human race, and that is to overcome the devil. Hallelujah. To overcome everything. Hallelujah. And to, glory to God, overcome death. Amen. And this is what we're waiting here for. Amen. This is what we're striving for. This is what we're climbing up into the mountains for. Amen. To go up there and meet the devil and defeat him. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it comes to the point, brethren. Now listen to this carefully. This flashes to me. It comes to the point that God's waiting upon some human being to get enough faith to really speak a word to bind Satan and finish with him. Yeah. Jesus could do it. The devil tempted him to do it. He wouldn't do it because he wanted to leave it for us to come in. This part of the harvest had to come in. Jesus had to have children. Hallelujah. And we are the generation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the generation of Jesus Christ. And God had to leave it for us to be done. Hallelujah. So that life would come forth in the earth and we of our own free will and power would bind the devil and stop him from feeding on the human race as he is. Amen. So then, let's go back to the revelation of Jesus Christ. We want to know who Jesus is. Amen. And to know who Jesus is, I'm going to get you into certain scriptures, but I want to make some statements here before. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is here. But Jesus is also in you. And Jesus is in some people who are not here. So Jesus is here. Jesus is not here. And Jesus is coming. Now, isn't that funny? We have got to understand what we're talking about. Amen. Now, we understand that Jesus is here in spirit. Amen. Jesus is here in spirit. Jesus is in us as Christ in the Holy Ghost. But we still want another manifestation of Jesus. We want that manifestation of Jesus which Peter and John and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas saw. We want the manifestation of Jesus which Thomas saw when he pushed his hand into his side. Glory to God. And then he said to him, "Feel me. I'm not a spirit. I am flesh and bone. Feel me," he said. Find a scripture for me, babe. We want that manifestation. Now, somebody said, "But brother, this is your carnal. Why do you want that manifestation?" We want that manifestation because we are to be made in the same fashion as that manifestation. Hallelujah. Let's find it. Philippians. Philippians 3. And we read 20 and 21. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ."
Thank you.
"Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Amen. Do we understand that? So that our body are going to be fashioned like unto Jesus' glorious body. Now, what kind of fashion was his glorious body in? What's that scripture now?
Luke 24:39.
Let's read the context with it from verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, hallelujah, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Oh, brother, this would defeat all those people who were talking about Jesus is not coming here again. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Bless his holy name. Now, brethren, if we turn our Bibles again to Romans 8 chapter, we will see here in verse from 22-23, For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Sister, you are redeemed in your spirit wholly. You are being redeemed in your soul. In your body, you are still physical, normal, flesh and blood, not redeemed. This is the reason why we have to bring the power through our soul realm in order that the body realm be healed. Amen. This is the reason why Jesus said to the disciples, This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, because their souls were blocking the power coming through the Spirit. They had to pray and fast to open up the avenue. Glory, glory, glory. The avenues of the soul, so that the body might get some blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let us check one more, or just a few more scriptures on these points before we go any further. Let's look again on what the scripture said about Jesus returning here. We We want to look at Acts chapter 3. And verses 20 and 21 again. Will somebody read that for me? Aloud.
And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the word began.
Bless the Lord. Now the word translated receive here can be translated received in some places, but in this place it should be a better translation would be retain or hold back. So the heavens are going to hold Jesus Christ until all things are restored. Amen. Not to their Adamic condition, or not to their pre-sin condition. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Before Adam sinned, he was a type of man which we haven't seen on earth yet, except in Jesus Christ. He had power. He was Lord. He was in command of the whole earth. He could trim the trees for 1,000 miles. Amen. He didn't have a machine. We didn't need it. He must have had something that we don't know about. Adam must have been more like what we'd think of a Superman. But it's not Adam we are aiming for now. For if you aim for Adam, you'll fall again. But we are going to the place to be restored unto God, in the place where we were before the foundation of the world. Glory to God, with Jesus inside of him as a part of him, yet being different entities and being let loose. It's like the people who have children. Amen. The children were once a part of themselves. Amen. Amen. Well, this is how we come in with Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn back a page or so to the first chapter of Acts. And we have a clear message here. Kura Matara, amen. Verse 9 down to 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. In other words, Jesus Christ was lifted off the earth a little way up, and a cloud just came around him. Hallelujah. The heavenly host came to meet him, and he disappeared. That's what happened. Out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, it would seem to me that this angel used some extra words. Amen. Hallelujah. To make it abundantly clear that it's not another Jesus. It is the same one. And who was the Jesus they knew? It was a flesh and blood man who lost his blood and was a flesh and bone man with a spirit moving through his being, and he was the prototype, the pattern of what we shall be according to Acts chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we think of Jesus, let us think of a man, an individual who is in the heavenlies and in the condition which we want to be in and which we shall be in some time to come. This is the man I met in my room. When I talked with him, I had no doubt that he was a man. And when Mavis met him one day, and he came in the twilight through the door and came to her bed and spoke to her and touched her, he was a man. And he said, "I want you to know that I am a man." Yes, sir. So we go around having all different kind of ideas, not knowing that we are dealing with someone, one of our brothers named Jesus, who is in the condition that we are aiming to be in. Hallelujah. For we are his children in the Lord, and we are aiming to be like him. Hallelujah. And we shall be like him. And when we are talking to him, we should talk to him. He said he's touched with our infirmities. Glory to God in the highest. You ever talk to Jesus about healing your body? Amen. He is touched with our infirmities. Every burden, every pain, every woe, every sin, glory to God, everything that hurts us, he is touched with our infirmities. Blessed be to God Almighty. Sometimes when I look at people on the street, I wish to God they would just allow me to be touched with their infirmities. You can see it mark over their face. Say, "God Almighty, if I could do something for him, if I could do something for her." This is the Jesus Spirit. This is the Jesus Spirit. This is the Christ Spirit. When Jesus Christ faced Gethsemane Garden, when demons were going to tempt him to use his powers before the time, and he was struggling not to use it, hallelujah, he said, "Father, take this cup away from me." He said, "But nevertheless, not my will." He wasn't wanting to cop out. That's not what he wanted. He wanted to blast the devil and to finish with it, to save mankind once and for all. Amen. God said, "No, no, no. I don't have all the men I want yet. I don't have all the people I want yet. I still have two more thousand years. I can't cut my program short." Hallelujah. Yes. He said, "No, no." He said, "You got to face it." Okay. "Not my will then. For my will would be just to give it to him right now. Finish the job. But thy will be done." The will of the Christ in you, brother. If Jesus Christ give you full power tonight, if he charge up your battery and give you full power, man, you'd blast the devil out of this planet by tomorrow morning. Can't trust you. Can't trust us with the power now. We're immature. To have power, you have to have understanding. You have to have understanding and wisdom. You have to know what God is doing. Then you cooperate with God. Hallelujah. You rush down the hospital and say, "I'm going to heal every sick in the air because I get power." And you zap, 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 zap. Amen. You let them loose whereas God tied them. Yeah. Some people are sick because they need to repent. Some people repent because they are sick. Yeah. And some humanity, you can't deal with him any other way. You got him on the hook. You're going to have to get what you need out of him before you let him off the hook. Some of us go bam, 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 shoot him wild, let him loose a lot of people. One day God came to me with a finger. He said, "You have done some things that I didn't want done." You see, when you do that, God's going to have to do it over again. Yes, sir. I know some Christians that let a man loose two times. And the third time they tried it, he died. Yes, sir.
He told God, I will serve you if you let me do. If you let this cancer away from me, I'll serve you, God. God said, all right. Took away the cancer from him and let him loose. He started going for God for a few weeks. And then he turned back to his old ways. Amen. But some people loved him, you see. So he went on for 2 years without any cancer. Then it hit him again. This time, oh God, I will do it, he said. I will do it. I'll serve you this time. He repented. God, I mean, the man was as genuine as ever he could be. He meant it from the bottom of his heart. But he had already damaged himself so badly that he couldn't help himself. He just went right back into sin. And so the third time comes up. The women prayed again. God said, I will heal him this time. I'll heal him. And they said, praise God. They went and lay hands on him. Zap, zap, he died. Oh, they say, God, let me down. So, okay. And for something like a month, they wouldn't bury that man. They went there, pull out that thing, lay hands on him, carry his clothes and his shoes. And oh, it was a spectacle. He never came back. What do you want, anyhow? What do we want? We want the will of God to be done. We want to save that soul. Man, if we must destroy the body to get the soul, let it be. Blessed be to God Almighty. And I say so for the dearest loved ones. For the dearest loved ones. My God, I would rather see you dead than see you go to hell. Hallelujah. If dying is going to put you into heaven, amen, Jesus. Take him. Me too. Amen. So, this Jesus is a man. And he's walking around. He's attending our meetings. He's loving us. He's keeping us. He's helping us. I have seen him. And I know him personally. Good. We get that point over. Then he's coming back as a man. That's why we're waiting for the coming of Jesus. Not because he's not here, but he's not here in the form that we want him here. We want him to come and to stay with us. Amen. To abide with us forever. Amen. We want him to come and to stay with us. And we want him to be our king. Amen. And we want him to reign and to rule, not only in here, but out there. Hallelujah. Because I'm jealous. Amen. I'm jealous after that world out there for my Jesus Christ. Amen. I want Jesus to take charge of that world out there. Every human being in the street, I want Jesus to give him all that he has. Hallelujah. To save him and to walk with him and to talk in him, and that this world will be the third heaven. This is what I want. Hallelujah. This is what I'm aiming for. To make this earth like heaven. Isn't that what you pray? When last did you say the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The three dimensions of earth, Lord, let your will be done. Upon the carnal man, upon the spiritual man, and in the world at large, the worldliness be changed over to godliness. Hallelujah! Bless his holy name. Now let's go on. Now let us look at what Brother John saw of Jesus. Turn your Bibles around to Revelation chapter 1. And we begin to read at the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass.
And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now I'm going to read, and I'm going to ask you to take out the pronouns there and put in somebody's name. Will somebody do that for me? Some bright student, do that for me. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Unto who? Jesus or John? You say John. Okay, let's read it and see if we can get any sense out of it. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it to his angel unto his servant John. Something's funny there. Let's try something else then. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he, Jesus Christ, sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John. That sounds better to me. But then how could Jesus Christ get the revelation of Jesus Christ? Amen. You see, because Jesus Christ is not just a man. Jesus Christ is a man who is the head and a body. So Jesus Christ had to get the body revealed to him. That's what he came here for, to find a bride. Amen. So as he went along the street, he looked over yonder and he saw some fishermen fishing. And he said to them, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Why did he say that to them? He had a revelation. Isn't that right? He had a revelation. He was going to walk among thousands of people, and he was going to pick out 12 men who were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Hallelujah. He had a revelation. He looked at one man and he saw him black from head to foot, dark with devil power. And he said, follow me. And that was Judas. And he knew, he had a revelation of Judas. Glory to God in the highest. He said to Judas one day, he said, haven't I chosen 12 of you and one is a devil? He didn't say he had a devil, you know. He said he is a devil. So, Jesus Christ had to have a revelation of the church, of the body of Christ. For these people were going to be his body and he was going to be their head. So God gave him the first revelation. Then he called his servant John and revealed it unto him. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you see, it was really Jesus Christ who revealed it to him. And of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from God, which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Praise God. We could go into much detail and much blessing, I have no doubt, but we need to go on. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I just want to say something about that there. First begotten of the dead tells me that there are others to come. Others who are to come forth. Jesus is the head, and the body is coming up after the head. After the head, here is the head, and here is the neck, and then the arms and shoulders, the body, feet. Now, Jesus is risen, already risen, and the next resurrection will be the shoulders. I should put it here, because there is a neck between the head and the shoulders, and that is a neck of time. That's 2,000 years. 2,000 years between the head and the shoulders. Praise God. Now, we want to go on, because it's very juicy. This piece of scripture is very juicy. We take verse 12. Let's start from 10, because we'll hear something there. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. What did John see? John knew Jesus. Jesus was his close companion. He leaned upon his bosom. If John saw Jesus, he would know him. John did not see Jesus. John saw the Son of God as the head of the body, and he saw the body of Christ symbolized by the candlestick. And Jesus was standing in the middle of the candlestick, and he was representing the head. And the head was white as wool. Praise be to God. And that brings us back to that scripture in Daniel chapter 7, which speaks of the Ancient of Days. Daniel chapter 7, and in verse 21 says, the beast made war against the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the church, the saints of the Most High God, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
John saw the Ancient of Days. His hair was white, showing maturity, full sonship. Hallelujah. That the, at last, Jesus Christ was now joined to the body, and the body was going to be benefited by all this maturity of Jesus, because we were now one man. Hallelujah. I want you to hold your Bible tightly here at Revelation 1, and let us turn backwards and look at a scripture here. Jesus Christ, his head was as white, his hair and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. The full mature man. I want you to turn to John 17 and see something that Jesus said to the Father. In speaking to the Father, he said something here about our relationship with him. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. My. You and I shall be one, as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one. As Jane is spirit, soul, and body sitting down before me here, so we will be one in Christ, even as Jane's spirit is one with our body. Miles apart, but still one. Our spirit is all spirit, and our body is all body. Amen. And yet they are one. And God Almighty said, we are going to be one, just like he and Father God are one. But let's go on. It's more beautiful as we go on. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me as thou hast, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, Father, verse 24, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where he was right that time. Amen. In God. His position, his power, his glory, his authority. Hallelujah. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Bless his holy name. Now, we have no doubt then of what John saw. John saw the body of Christ. John saw Jesus the head and the body together. Let no man deceive you that the body can function without the Christ man. Hallelujah. They are saying that you've got Christ in you. Amen. Holy Jesus, praise his holy name. We've got Christ in us. They are saying that Christ must come forth in us. We are saying the same thing, blessed holy name. But then what would we do with Acts chapter 3 and verse 21? That the heavens must retain him, hold him back until the restitution of all things, until all things are restored down here, until the Christ comes forth in us, Jesus Christ will not return. Until then, but bless God, then he will return. Ha ha. Glory to his holy name. Hallelujah. Now let's go on. Get back to Revelation. We see in Revelation here, his head was the Ancient of Days, white as wool. Verse 15, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Those feet are going to walk through the tribulation. That's why they burn. We are in the time of the feet, and we are going to be walking through the tribulation. That's why we are, that show the feet as walking through fire. We are the feet. Positionally, we are the shoulders in another dimension and understanding. Amen. He said the government would be upon his shoulders. Hallelujah. And the priest used to eat the shoulder. Hallelujah. So we are that shoulder. Now let's go on a little more. And it, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. Oh, let's turn to Revelation 7. And see, what is it that sound like many waters? Verse 11, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Did I read here that their voice was like many waters? Praise God. Verse 9 said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Praise God. Let's see, chapter 4. What's that? 14 and 2. Let's see, Revelation 14 and 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Amen. Now this same voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, is the voice of the church, the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we become one with Jesus. And they said it was his voice. It is very important for you to understand this, the scriptures and how the scriptures speak. Because some people said, oh, when I said, oh, God is going, you are going to bind the devil, and when I said you are going to bind the false prophet and so on and so, and they said, but the Bible said Jesus is going to do it. Surely it's Jesus. but it's going to be Jesus speaking through human voice. Hallelujah. God's not going to do anything down here without his church, without his people. Jesus, after that marriage, I wonder if you understand what all the Bible is written. He said it's going to be a marriage with his people. That means there is no more separation. He's just married the woman that he wants for eternity. And there will be no more separation. There will be a oneness. So when she speaks, you better believe it. That is his voice. Because she's not a rebellious woman. Amen. Hallelujah. And he had, verse 69, he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance, hallelujah, was as the sun shining in his strength. I want you to see this. 7 stars. Those 7 stars, do you remember further down, he said here, verse 20, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Amen. It explains itself right here. Now, what do you mean by the angel? Messengers. God is talking about human beings. Every time you see the Bible refer to star, he is talking about human beings. Sons of God are stars. You see further where some stars will fall. It means sons of God. Amen. But now let's deal with these, because God seemed to be rather pleased with these messengers. And you know how I see it, brethren? I see that when God called Martin Luther and gave him that charter and said, go out and preach justified by faith, you have peace with God, and it revolutionized the whole world of Christianity and brought them back to life, that Martin Luther was one of those stars. And you know, I see it. I see that that star doesn't only just represent one man, but it is a line, a number of messengers. Amen. Who coming right down the ages begin to preach the message of the church and bless his holy name in this hour. Blessed be to God Almighty. The stars of God are again preaching God's word. And there are men who are preaching the truth who are not preaching for money, who are not preaching for fame, who are not preaching as a profession, but they are preaching because God wants them to preach. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Yes.
Could you share the scripture that we're saying, just so someone understand that there is scripture that says that the sons of God are the stars?
The sons of God are the stars. Now, there are several scriptures, so many, that it's, I'm trying to think of one direct, there is one direct scripture. Now suppose we we're going to turn to the Old Testament, see, and look at Jacob's dream, in Genesis, I'm sorry, not Jacob, I mean Joseph's.
Joseph's dream, you could help me find it. Where do you get it? Genesis 27?
37.
Okay. Praise God. Joseph hated of his brethren, his two dreams, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told his brethren. And behold, I have dreamed a dream. More, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? Praise be to God. Amen. I'm going to check up some more for you, since you asked for it, you know. So that everybody here will get it once and for all. And those who are listening to the tapes might have the scriptures anyhow. I'm going to ask you to read some of these scriptures for me. The next one is in Deuteronomy 17:3. Somebody find it, read it.
And have gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven which I have not commanded.
Well, that was not pertaining to what we're looking for. I thought Deuteronomy, what was it, 17? What did you read a while ago?
17:3.
Joshua 10:12. That again, I believe, is not what I want. Psalm 19:4. What is Joshua talking about when he commanded the sun to stand still? Is that it? No, that's not what I want. It is clearly stated in Scripture, in many places, that the stars are the sons of God. But even this one here, that we mentioned here, we see that the stars are the sons of God. In Revelation, it is somewhere here, we find Revelation 11 speak of the stars falling from heaven, and in Matthew it was Revelation 11, and no, it's not there.
In 1 Corinthians 15, we're told that when the stars are bright and bright in heaven, he was referring to the saints using it.
Yeah, he was using it to referring to the saints in 1 Corinthians. But we'll come to that. We're coming to that, so we can leave that for a while. What's that? What did that say? Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. You see, here Jesus was calling himself the morning star, the bright and morning star.
I was sure there was a scripture in Daniel that definitely referred to.
I thought so myself.
Mystery as stars.
I'm sure it was.
In Job 38:7, it says, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy."
Yeah, the morning star is Jesus.
It says stars.
Morning stars. I don't know. Here, Jesus himself called himself the morning star. But there is something here that you need to know, too, that the words translated morning star and Lucifer and all that is a word which basically refers to sons of a certain order of light. They say God is light. And all his children are stars, are some form of light. He called the church the moon, and called Jesus the sun in some places. And in some places he refers to himself as the bright and morning star. So the word we have for Lucifer is the word which means shining one. Shining one, or bright one. So in many of these scriptures, you know, there are deeper meanings to these words. Now, what were we looking for? There is something in Daniel which spoke of the sons of God as stars. I thought it was in Deuteronomy. Morning star. We've gone into Bible drill now. Praise God. We have Numbers 24:17. Let's look at that, what it says. Says here, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Here is another reference. This is Numbers 24 and verse 17, speaking of Jesus Christ as a star. Hallelujah. The Son of God as a star. Praise God. Now, there is another reference in 2 Peter 1:19. Let's find that. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Still speaking of the resurrection of Christ within us. Day star arise in your heart. And in Revelation 2 and 28, Revelation 2:28. See here. And I will give him the morning star. Yes. Praise God. He that overcometh. Let's go back to this word. He said here, down in Revelation 1:20, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And this word angels here does not mean heavenly beings coming down from heaven, standing up over the churches. But it means messengers, human messengers. These seven stars are the seven messengers of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Praise God. Now, this picture of Jesus that we get here for is a picture of the Christ and the church in one being. Oneness between Jesus and his church. Now let's go on to 1 Corinthians. Praise God, if you're tired, you just have a little to wait. First Corinthians, did I say 12? Well, 1 Corinthians 12, and we are going to read from verse 12. It says here, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So Christ is a member of our body. What member is he? What's his name? The ministry is a member of our body. Is that right? What part of the body would the ministry be? The symbolism I'm talking about. What symbolically, what part of the body would the ministry be? The arm. The arm and the hand, right? Christ, you understand that? They serve the rest of the body. Amen. Praise his holy name. Well, what part symbolically of the body would Jesus Christ be? The head. The head. I want you to know it. Because some people don't know it. They said they are the head. And every church that God anoints with his blessing come forth and they tell us that they are the head. We are the greatest. Now, anytime you begin to feel that you are the greatest, you are just getting to be nothing in the Lord. You hear me? Jesus said, if you are the greatest, this question arose among his disciples, you know. Who will be the greatest? said, any one of you that will be the greatest is going to be the servant of all. Let me see you be a servant to God's people, and I know you are the greatest. But you won't even know it for serving. Amen. For being kicked around. Amen. For washing people's feet. Amen. Getting some of that water splashed in your face. You won't even know that you are the greatest until Jesus Christ comes and reveals that to you. And then when he gives you your crown and star, said, well, where did I see you hungry and naked and wanting food and feed you? Where did I do so and so? And Jesus said, in as much as you did it to John Brown, you did it to me. Hallelujah! Praise his holy name. And so, here we are faced with a problem. Because here we see brethren not understanding Christ from this very point. Somebody could take all my preaching and say, well, Brother Dussel, there you are. You are saying we are Christ. That's exactly what I am not saying. Amen. I am saying you are not Christ. Hallelujah. I'm saying you are a part of, the body of Christ. No, no, no. I come, get a sharp knife, cut off a little piece of Dave, tell you tonight I'm bringing Dave to church with me. Everybody look around, don't see Dave. Where is he? Is that him? He's right here. Here he is. Present your piece of his skin. This is Dave. You said, no, sir. That's not Dave. I said, yes, this is Dave. And this is what some of us are doing. We are going around and saying, we are Christ. Amen. And this is error. And this is where the devil catches on a technicality. Turn your Bibles around one leaf. Mine is two leaves. And we take 1 Corinthians 15. And we look from the 20th verse to the 23rd. Hallelujah. And here we're going to have an understanding. Probably some of us never had before. Amen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Now let's get the order. First, Christ the first fruits, semicolon. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Do you see anything there? Now, the scripture said fruits. First fruits, not fruit. And the brethren say, aha, we got it, we are Christ. But the Bible said Christ the first fruits. Now, it simply means this, brethren, that Jesus Christ rose first. It's like a man getting up from under the earth, and he rises, and his head comes up first. And the next thing must follow is his body. So in Christ is the assurance of our resurrection. As a matter of fact, our resurrection is in him. In that he is risen, he said, where I am, there ye may be also. Now, this is what he's saying.
I said, look, Dave, I've got this job, and I will be leaving this job next week, and I want you to be in my place. Where I am, I want you to be next week. So make an application for the job now, and I will see to it that they give you the job, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you understand it? Jesus was stepping out, and he says, when I step out, I'll pull you in. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men towards me. Glory to God in the heart. It is the lifting up of Jesus that is drawing us, because we are attached to him. Amen. So then, in the resurrection, Christ is the first fruit. That Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and all those who are a part of the body of Christ will resurrect next, because you are part of Christ. Hallelujah. Then those that belong to Christ, amen. Remember, I showed you the picture of the tabernacle, and I showed you the outer court. The outer court. Outer court. When a thing comes in through the outer court, the thing can't, the bull that comes in through the outer court gate can't say that bull is a priest. But that bull is going to become a part of the priest. His flesh and his blood. That bull is going to be eaten by the priest, in other words. So that bull belongs to the priest. That bull is a part of. Amen. Then, when he goes into the holy place, we find that there you enter into Christ, but here you are being prepared by fire to enter into Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I want everybody to be alive in these last few moments of this message, for it won't be able to end if you're not awake. Praise his holy name. So then, this here is belonging to Christ. Let me show you. This here is Christ. And this here is belonging to Christ. So when you enter into here, you enter through the door. Said, I am the door. So here is belonging to Christ. So these people will have a resurrection before these people have a resurrection. Hallelujah. Because Christ is our resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you understand it? Then you are spiritual. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good. Now, let's look down a little on that same chapter. And we look on verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Praise God. So do you understand what we're saying? That in the resurrection, people are going to have different conditions. Some are going to come forth in one order, and some come forth in another order. And until we all come forth in the fullness, then God won't be satisfied. Now let's show you one more scripture.
to prove this point. And we turn back to Revelation 10. And in the 7th verse, but in the days, come on now, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, and he, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. So you see that it's going to be a continuous time of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And in the days, you know how long it will be? 1,000 years. People will be resurrecting for 1,000 years, coming forth in the fullness of God. You want me to stop and send you home to your beds, or you want the full story? You won't answer me. Then turn to Daniel. Turn to Daniel and let us see in Daniel, hallelujah, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Praise God. Now, praise his holy name. We go to Daniel 7. Daniel 2. In the verse 34 speaks of the stone. Thou sawest, Daniel 2:34, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hand, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What is that stone? What is that stone? That stone, all right, I have to go to another scripture to prove that to you. That stone is the sons of God. The same scripture can help us. Turn to Daniel 3, the same 2, verse chapter 2. And verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now turn to Daniel 7 and verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Bless his holy name. And if you look at verse, since we are there, we might as well look at some more verses. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. The saints of the Most High, him. The one man you saw in Revelation 1. Well, let's close with Revelation 1. There was one verse there that we did not look at. One phrase there. It says, verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of it, his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the phrase I want you to see. That out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Why? Why is the sword coming out of his mouth? I have to show you why, you will admit. Let me turn to Revelation 11. Praise the Lord. Amen. 11. Out of his mouth came forth a sharp two-edged sword. Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the whole earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth. One mouth, two people. And devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Do you understand now why the fire or the sword is in their mouth? It is the word of God. The sword is the word of God coming forth from their mouth that is going to destroy the enemy and break in pieces the kingdoms of this world. Hallelujah! Can you understand Russia with all our atomic weapons being broken by the Christians who sit here tonight? Can you understand the power and the might of this world being subdued by the Christians? Hallelujah. I can understand it. I can, because I know how it's going to happen. Amen. When we come forth in the nature of Jesus Christ, men won't know. Do you remember that scripture which said, if they had known, they would not have crucified the God of glory? They won't know us either. And they will come down on us with all their machinery to grind us to powder. They'll come down and say, we're going to finish with all Christians once and for all. They're going to set a day for our demise. And they're going to know that according to the power they have, it's just impossible for us to do anything about it. They're just going to grind us to powder. And instead, we'll throw in the Jews for good measure, you know, and make them part of this destruction. And all the atomic weapons will get ready to fire off at a certain hour, just before they fire. Some little old Christian going to speak a word. Let fire burn every weapon of war. And all of a sudden some good brother will see his drawer catch on fire. And when he pulls out the drawer, he realized that a gun in the drawer was burning. And every gun in every place, every weapon in every place will burn with fire. Amen. And the sons of God will get the victory that day, and it will be known as the Battle of Armageddon. When nothing but spirit power is going to work against natural force. And that day, they will know that the sons of God have power to overcome. Amen. There's a little song we learned down in Springfield. Let everything with breath praise the Lord. For victory over death, praise the Lord. For the Lord of all creation, the King of every nation, with joy and adoration, praise the Lord. Let everything with breath
praise the Lord. For victory over death, praise the Lord. For the Lord of the King of every nation, with joy and adoration, praise the Lord. Let everything with breath, praise the Lord. For victory over death, praise the Lord. For the Lord of all creation, the King of every nation, with joy and adoration, praise the Lord.